All right. Good afternoon, Melbourne. Good afternoon, Australia. And good day or evening to all our international listeners, too. I'm Helen Taylor. Welcome to my show, Inspired Radio. I'm here with you every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Melbourne, Australia time, and Tuesday, 7 p.m. Central Time for Canada and US as well. For conversations and stories to inspire you, this is the BBS radio platform going live to over 190 outlets worldwide. Before we get started, I'd like to just thank my sponsors. Thank you to all of you who sponsor the show. You are the foundation, my foundation. So if you, anybody else out there wishes to sponsor, the link is in the show notes. Thank you. Inspired Radio is all about change and getting uncomfortable and shaking up the status quo because we're breaking free from limiting thinking and systems and embracing our infinite potential. My guests are here to tell their story and to reveal how they've overcome change and made better lives for themselves and, of course, others, and to inspire you with their stories because storytelling is creating a new world. My guest today is Guy Anderson, a seeker of lost worlds and forbidden history. Have you heard whispers of Tartaria? Have you questioned the impossible scale of ancient structures that are scattered all over our planet? Well, Guy steps behind the official story, following the traces of vanished empires that some believe have been erased from memory itself. This isn't just history, it's a challenge to everything we think we know, and an invitation to see the hidden patterns woven into our world and what may have been hidden in plain sight. So let's put on our Indiana Jones hats and welcome Guy. Guy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on.
Take us into the world of Tartaria, please. Where did it all start for you?
Max Egan, he was the person that put it on my radar at back end
Oh,
of 2019. I'd been researching conspiracy theories for 3 decades, but I hadn't heard of Tartaria before, and whatever he said resonated with me, and it then sent me on a journey that I'm still on today. And I think because it's the biggest conspiracy of them all, anybody that's into conspiracy theories will know Tartaria well. And it's the linchpin of them all. It connects everything. It's what every conspiracy theory is attached to. So
That's
it's the most
interesting.
important.
That's interesting because I didn't know that you started off with conspiracy theories. So, 30 years of going down that road, what triggered that for you?
Well, I sort of shared my journey in my first book. I don't know if you've read it or not, but
For the listeners,
it was my
book
it
is
was my
that?
f so, sorry.
For the listeners, is that the book Conspiracy Theories from a Garden
No.
to Zombies? No?
No, that's my latest book. That came out December last year. My
Okay.
first book, the one that's become really popular, is Tesla and the Cabbage Patch Kids, and
Right.
that's about Tartaria.
Right.
But I shared my journey in that because it was my first book. I wanted to tell people how I got to the point of writing, and why conspiracy theories had really been a big part of my life. But it was my father that started the journey. He joined the Freemasons when I was in my teens,
Right.
and he used to share snippets with us. But he always used to say that a lot of people laughed, my mother included, in going off to his secret meetings with his funny handshake and
Yes.
so on. But he always used to say that you can laugh as much as you like, but they run the world. Everything
He
that you
said
do.
that.
Yeah, and obviously, everybody knows this to be the case today. But 30 years ago, it wasn't so common. People didn't really know what they were about. But
No.
yeah, so my dad started me on the journey, and then he got me reading books, like From Atlantis to the Sphinx, The Holy Blood and the Holy Grail. And then, of course, as I got older, you can't be into conspiracy theories without reading David Icke's work. And
Yes.
he really did put it on the map for us and put his head above the parapets, to
Was
be
your
shot
dad
down.
Was your dad grooming you to be a Freemason as well?
No.
Was he giving you books then that he was being privy to, that he knew there was truth to?
No, he said that if I wanted to find out more about Freemasonry, then the best thing to do would be to join when the time was right, and he would help me if I needed any help. But no, he realized that I had similar interests to him, and I wanted to read more information. And obviously there's no internet back then, and you couldn't go into W.H. Smith's, which here at the time was where most people bought their books from. You couldn't find anything outside the mainstream. So he was sharing books with me that he'd found quite difficult to obtain. And I started reading them, and then he could see that, we didn't have a brilliant relationship. We didn't talk that much, but he could see that I was interested in the same things as him. And that I suppose grew, that magnified as we both got older. And we found out that we had a lot more in common than we realized
It
when I
was a
was growing
beautiful
up.
foundation for a future relationship for the two of you, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, and he now edits my books.
Okay.
Yeah, he's 80 now, but he helps me with my books with editing.
Oh, that's gorgeous. That's beautiful. Yeah. So, okay. And let me just let the listeners know right now as well that you're in the UK, right? I'm here
Yeah.
in Australia.
Well, I live on England. I don't live in the UK.
Oh, beg your pardon. Yes, it's
Yeah,
all
because
about
that's a it's a
language.
corporation. Yeah, and
It's
I'm
all
not
about
part of that.
language. Yes,
Yeah,
I
so I
hear.
live on England. Yeah, I don't live in it because I haven't built an underground bunker yet, but I live very firmly on England.
Okay. So conspiracy theories got opened up. Your father fed that with the books that he was directing you to. Okay. Wow, what an upbringing. How did you handle like going to school and having all these ideas racing around in your head?
School didn't work for me. I didn't resonate, and I understand why that is now. And it wasn't actually to do with my father. It's to do with genetic memory. So nothing that they were telling me resonated. Nothing made any sense. A lot of it seemed pointless. So I was one of those kids that had the school report that said lacks interest, could have done better.
Yes.
But art was something that there was no narrative for. So I found myself engaging more in the art classes, and then went off to art college, and then started a career in graphic design and then tattooing. So I didn't really need to focus too much on what they were telling me about geography, history, and maths, which I didn't get. I didn't see any point to, and I understand why that is now, because I found a subject that I enjoyed. And going to art college, I didn't have to worry about this stuff anymore. So I was no longer staring out of the window. I
Yes.
was doing what really interested me, and I was fortunate enough to build a career in it.
I think that a lot of people listening can absolutely relate because we're all from that part of the generation where, she's lazy or he's lazy or it doesn't put effort in and all that sort of stuff because what was trying to be taught to us just didn't make sense, just like you were saying. But you
Yeah.
mentioned genetic memory. I haven't heard that phrase before. How did that come into not wanting to learn certain things?
It's not that you don't want to learn. We all carry genetic memory. So, this is something that has been proven for some time. So we know that DNA carries memory. So at the moment you're conceived, the memories of your parents are part of your very being, part of your essence. So inside you carry this information. So you carry shared memory. And the further your ancestors go back, the more memory you're carrying. So if your ancestors go back to a time before now, before the Great Reset of 1776, which is obviously the pivotal moment, if your ancestors predate that, and you're one of the lucky ones, because most people don't. Most people's ancestry doesn't go back past the 1800s. No matter what they find online, it doesn't. So if you're carrying genetic memory from the previous civilization, then you'll sit there in that classroom knowing that the geography's wrong, history's wrong, the language is incorrect, maths is completely wrong. But you won't know why.
Yes.
It will just seem pointless to you. So you stare out of the window and you're perhaps distracted, distracting others. And it's because built into you, you have a little voice saying, this is pointless. This is absolutely pointless. And we know now that that these subjects are taught incorrectly. And we know why they are, because they rewrote our history books for us, and taught us a new narrative. So for the people that questioned what their teachers were telling them at school, it's often linked to the genetic memory you're carrying. And people can have, they can have work done, so they can actually pull that, past life regression, for example, accessing their records. A lot of people now have that work done, so they can find out why it is that they're so connected to a previous civilization or have a fascination with
Or
Atlantis, for example.
it can emerge naturally as well. I remember when I first had to start working with healing with people, and I would start, touching the body in certain ways. All of a sudden, I just knew how to massage and how to do all of those sorts of things. And I'd never studied anatomy, and I'd never studied massage or any of that. We think that it's just something that's natural, but that's genetic memory as well.
Yeah, I guess so. It may well be muscle memory from a previous ancestor that did the same thing. Yeah, but it's something that I've explored for a long time. Why some of us have it and why some of us don't. And this is, the direct result today is the NPCs wandering around are other people without this genetic memory,
For the
which,
listeners that don't know what you're talking about, what's an MCP?
NPC,
NPC.
non-playing character. It's who we refer to as the sheep, the people that will willingly roll up their sleeve and take a medical intervention or read the news. They still watch the news, buy newspapers. They still actually believe the information is correct. And some of them will still vote. They actually believe that voting is a real thing, that people count them and it makes a difference. So people who blindly follow the mainstream narratives or blindly
Authority.
follow religion, yeah, if they've
Authority.
been indoctrinated through one means or another, they
Yes.
are the NPCs. But they tend to actually be the descendants of the human clones that were used to repopulate in the 1800s.
Well, now we're going down a rabbit hole that I don't think that some people may have been down, but you've got a website, you've got books, and if people want to start exploring some of this stuff, they're quite welcome to. I just find this a rich, invigorating conversation. And these conversations need to be had now. People need to really start questioning who we are and what our history is, because I've been down the rabbit hole of Tartaria, and I discovered that, yes, absolutely, there's some really confronting evidence that history has been reset and written or rewritten, as you're saying.
Yeah, they rewrote it. The Jesuits rewrote it in the 1700s, late 1700s, and they changed the timeline. They added 800 years to our timeline and created, the Dark Ages, the Middle Ages. So we've got this slow explanation of how we progressed, but actually we've gone backwards. If you look at the technology that was present in Tartaria, we have gone completely backwards. And now we just rely on Big Pharma. We're using the wrong technology. We're listening to music on the wrong frequencies. We're being poisoned. We overeat. We're hit from every single direction. And life is made so much harder as a direct result of that. But we know who's behind it all. It's the bloodline families. We know that the Rothschilds sit at the very top of those. And that's who funded the Jesuits to go out there and remove Tartaria and rewrite our history. They needed to do this because of the Industrial Revolution. They didn't want people knowing that you could heal using frequency in a building that became known as a church or a cathedral, or harness energy from the ether and have no need to bend the knee to an electrical or power supplier and pay through the nose for for what is really dirty energy. But fortunately, there are a lot of people out there now that are making Tesla machines and are powering things themselves. And so a lot of people are seeing that circulate, so they can almost sort of witness a revival of pulling
The
energy.
cracks are certainly appearing, and yes, what has been hidden or kept from us is starting to slowly reveal itself, isn't it?
Yeah, it's there for those that want to see, but we've just got to accept the fact that not everybody can. I used to get into huge debates with people, trying to sort of almost convince them of the information I've got, and you must take this on board, you must listen to this, you must read this. Now I don't, because what I've learned is that you can't wake some people up, so your energy could be better spent elsewhere. On people who have woken up or are just waking up now, so you can be there to support them and help them search for more information on whatever it is that that's inspired them to start digging.
And you're not the only one who's doing this and revealing this stuff through rabbit holes that I went down. There's a YouTube group called My Lunch Break, and episode after episode they're revealing how Wikipedia has, a lot of what we've seen as our history has been written by AI. People think that computers and that sort of technology is all new stuff to us, but it really is just being revealed to us. Would that be correct?
Yes. Yeah, he's doing some really good work. He's quite sort of a new arrival to Tartaria, but he's already getting some great work out there. But yes, I think, as you quite rightly said, anybody that goes to Wikipedia to find factual information may well be the same type of person that rolls up their sleeve and has another booster.
And when
It's
you
the
look at it,
last
though,
place.
with a critical mind like he is, you start seeing that, the language that's being talked about, buildings were founded, not built. The narratives of being a fire destroying them or some sort of catastrophe, and then they had to be rebuilt. UNESCO being, a part of this world that is claiming, cultural kind of ownership of a lot of these Tartarian buildings and things like that. There's a theme that runs through all the Wikipedia descriptions of all the old world buildings, that if you take a deeper look at it, you can crack it wide apart.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was the purpose of my first book, Tesla and the Cabbage Patch Kids. I don't know if you follow my YouTube channel, but I have some fantastic guests on there that have been exploring different subjects within Tartaria's umbrella for a very long time. And so what he talks about on my lunch break, it's sort of I suppose is a diluted form of what I shared in my first book, where I've actually, been researching and writing about this for a little bit longer. And yeah, I provide examples of countries, of cities, of towns and places that don't quite meet the narrative we've been presented by, fictitious sites like Wikipedia.
Even here, as I said to you just before we got on this show, here in Melbourne, we've got the exhibition buildings, which is a grand old world building, and our general post office in the city. And you look at those and you look at when they were built in the late 1700s, they were supposed to have been built by convicts. It's like, where did the resources come from? It's just simple questions. Who were the people that put them together, that built them? And when you even question who the architectures were, I actually looked at it again today. It doesn't even tell you who built them,
No, they're not going to tell you the truth. And obviously, they weren't built by convicts. You didn't even have very many convicts come to Australia. They were children that were sent there to repopulate. So that's all a lie. The story of how the convicts were sent from Britain to Australia is all a lie. And I've given that information for anyone that's interested in my first book.
I mean, thank you for reminding me, because that is just a whole another, story to the reset.
Yeah, and if you look at what they've done with Australia, it's no different to other countries. But to take the Aboriginal people's land from them and destroy their culture, and put them in a position where they're kind of treated as second-class citizens on their own land is disgusting. And these things need to be put right. And I hope that in my lifetime we start to see that happen. But it's all over the world. They've done it to indigenous peoples across the world, completely destroyed their country and slowly eroded their history and their oral traditions that are handed down and so on. There are people that need to be held accountable for what they've done. And I think there are thousands of people out there, if not more than that, that need to be given their land back.
Yes, I agree. I agree. So, for people that are listening out there, Tartaria, can you give them a snapshot of what it was? What that whole civilization was about?
Well, it was 1,000 years of really an echo of Atlantis or Hyperborea, but it was a period of 1,000 years. It was the largest and most powerful empire we've ever had. As a region of land, it represented most of the Northern Hemisphere, but predominantly we're talking Russia, Euro-Asia. They go into Western Europe as well, but their ethos travelled because they were sharing information with other civilizations. The Moors were a huge part of it. Obviously, the Moors came from North Africa. They were the original nobility throughout Europe, and they created a lot of these buildings that we see in America as well today. So Penn Station, Statue of Liberty, the White House, all of these structures were actually built by the Moors. So we're talking about a mass of land, but an ethos. So a little bit like in the same respect as we are told, which obviously isn't a true narrative, but we're told that the Roman Empire traveled across Europe and it came into Britain, and a lot of the buildings are Roman, and the Romans had incredible influence here, but a lot of that's fictitious. So it's the same principle. This information was shared and passed across the world, and that's why you see in places like South America or Samoa, even on islands like Nagasaki and Hiroshima, you'll see buildings that have that Greco-Roman style, and they are not because somebody there travelled to Europe and saw these buildings. It's because this is actually Tartarian architecture that we're looking at. So it's 1,000 years. It went from 25 BCE to 976 CE. 976 is 1776. So we're talking
Because the 1,000
200.
years was added on there.
800 years were added. So we're talking 250 years ago when New World Order began.
And that is mind-blowing, isn't it? That is mind-blowing to think that in only 250 years, we've gone from opulence and that sort of state of existence to what we are now.
Yeah, totally agree. But then that's always been the plan, hasn't it? It's what the Rothschilds, they want that they've always attempted to control, and they go back to, obviously, as most people know, they go back to Amun-Ra, Marduk, the Anunnaki, and believe that it is their God-given right to rule over us, that they are the only real royal blood, if you like, the only real descendants from the gods, so to speak. And when Marduk left, he left everything behind to them. That the power and everything was left behind to his descendants, the children of Ra, the Ra Childs, and they have ever since been trying to get themselves back into a position where they control the masses because they believe it's their birthright to do so.
It's their
The Industrial
God-given right.
Revolution.
The one thing that still puzzles me, so you've got this massive empire, Tartarian Empire, that has all the technology and riches and culture and buildings and stuff that we still see remnants of all around the world. And all the technology and whatever that they had obviously was hidden, taken and hidden, and slowly fed back out into our world over the last 250 years. So we think we discovered light, electricity, and we think we discovered, radios, and we think we discovered telephone. It was no. That technology and even something far more superior was always there. It was just being fed back to us, right? But for everything that I've read and for everything that I've found as well, one thing still eludes me. It's like, what happened? How did they eradicate a very superior race of people so quickly? What happened?
They nuked them.
They nuked them.
Yeah, nuclear or certainly direct energy weapons were used to get rid of a lot of the population. And I've detailed each different civil war, how it took place, and how certain cities were destroyed in that particular book. So I won't go into to huge detail, but they used civil wars to actually reduce the population. They had people fighting themselves, so Tartarians were fighting each other, not really understanding why, and that happened all over the world. But yeah, they used direct energy weapons, and that resulted in mud floods, melted buildings, and so on. So yeah, and that's why in this around the same period.
Sorry, Guy. That became the Noah's Ark narrative as well, the floods.
That's the completely different, yeah, different time, different event. We're not talking about flooding with water. We're talking about mud floods. So obviously, what you're describing is the Anunnaki actually wrote, the Sumerians wrote about the flood. The Noah story is just a revival where they've changed the names. Obviously, as most people know, the Old Testament's based upon much earlier Sumerian text, just a regurgitated story. But yeah, that was obviously to wipe out Atlantis. This was different. They were actually wiping out buildings and people. So between 1776 and 1876, we lost 3.35 billion people.
Let's just let that sink in with people just for a moment, hey? Because, this conversation needs to be had, Guy, doesn't it? The world needs to be aware of what has happened to us in the past.
It does, but as I said, the problem is that you can't share this information with quite a large amount of the public because they don't carry the genetic memory, so nothing resonates with them. There's no inner dialogue questioning things. So you can share this, but it won't sink in. They'll still go and vote. They'll still buy a newspaper or watch the news, and look up at the sky and think that those trails are condensation and not chemicals. They'll still do that. So that's the problem that we have. It's down to us, the people that are awake, to try and share more information with each other in the hope that the odd person wakes up along the way. But we've got to accept the fact that at least 60% of the population cannot be woken up. They're not designed to. It doesn't matter what you present them, they're not going to wake up.
So what's the answer then? What do you see then the answer is? Like, where are we headed?
Well, as we know, we're going through another great reset, aren't we? So we're going to continue to see depopulation through different forms, mainly vaccines, but obviously they're poisoning us through food and water too, and then through big pharma. So we're being hit from lots of different angles. Fortunately, that the people that are awake don't eat the same foods. We don't go to the doctor in the same way that the NPCs do. So I think we're going to be around for a lot longer than the parasites would like us to be. But we've got to accept the fact we're going to lose a lot more of the people that are asleep. We are going to lose them. They're going to get ill, and they're also going to have problems reproducing, which we're seeing now since 2020. So we've just got to we've got to stand together. We've got to unite, keep sharing information, and as I said, anybody who's just woken up or is showing signs of waking up, be there to support them. But we mustn't waste too much energy on people that aren't designed to.
No. No, and that's a conclusion that I've come to. And my job is not to, is just to get the information and voices out there, right? Because then it just really gets people starting to look at something in a different light. Because Tartaria has a lot of different stories that are out there. But what I love is you're just putting the dots together. You're just joining the dots for a lot of people out there that have got bits and pieces of that information. This is a reset, without a doubt. This is a reset that we're going through.
Oh, we know it. I mean, it's not hidden, is it? The World Economic Forum keeps saying we're going through a great reset. So, it's not like they're hiding this. But to understand what's happening now and to see where this is going, it's really useful if you research the last Great Reset in 1776. Everybody knows that that was the start of New World Order, but they don't understand what the events were leading up to them being able to take full control back. And that's what I've shared in my first book. It does join all the dots, and history repeats itself. So, if anyone's interested in the Great Reset today and how they reset before, it's shared in that particular book. They can and they'll see it all playing out right before their very eyes once again.
There's nothing new on earth, right?
Nothing new under the sun, no.
Nothing new under the sun. So, who are we essentially? From your research and your understanding, who are we? And is there a God? Are we supreme beings? Are we connected with source?
Nobody can answer that. That's a question. No matter how intelligent somebody thinks they are, or how many experience they've had, or who they speak to when they meditate, no one can answer that. Because we don't know. We know that we were created by the Anunnaki. I mean, we call them the Anunnaki, but they were actually called Sam, SAM, and we just refer to them as Anunnaki because they were beings that came from the heavens, or at least that's what we thought. So we've referred to those as gods, haven't we? In the Old Testament, we refer to them as gods. We're talking about just a supreme race of beings. I think everyone has a connection to the source, what you might call a soul or your aura. So I think we all have a connection, but nobody can answer, is there a God? What is it? Because nobody knows. There are just a large number of people who think they know something they can never possibly prove. And we don't know what happens when we move on, but I think we're all connected, and I think we're connected to the source. We definitely had a pineal gland that functioned properly before the last reset, and that's why people refer to the Tartarian period of 1,000 years as the millennial reign of Christ. And it's got nothing to do with Jesus, the fictitious character Jesus. It's actually connected to our fluid, the secretion that runs down our
Prism,
spine,
the chrism line.
the 33 vertebrae. So it was a time of a heightened level of awareness and a higher frequency and vibration. So they call it the millennial reign of Christ because they're referring to Christos, the fluid, and are running up and down our spine, and us being in, a much higher state of consciousness than we are now. So our previous civilization had a better connection to the source, if you like, than we do.
That's an interesting topic you just raised there, because the Christos or the chrism oil or whatever you want to call it, we still have it. And what I'm starting to get insight here from listening to you is, I always wondered why some people wake up and some people don't. And now I'm starting to understand that it was being bred out of us, annihilated out
No,
of us. No?
no, no. It was, as I was saying earlier on, it's to do with genetic memory. So either you have genetic memory that goes back before the last Great Reset, or you don't. So if you have genetic memory that goes back before 1776, so you've got ancestors before that, then in your memory, in your DNA, you have knowledge of the previous civilization and how they lived. If your ancestry only goes back to the 1800s, because they were cloning, they mass produced hundreds of thousands of clones to repopulate, then your ancestry or your genetic memory only goes back to that point. So there is no reference but before that. So you don't know that we're not supposed to live like this, or that history's wrong, geography's wrong, and so on, because you haven't got a reference point. So it's no, it's to do with how far back your ancestry goes. And for at least 60% of the world, it goes back to the 1800s. That's it. No matter what they find on ancestry.com, that's as far back as it goes.
Well, because that's all made up and AI generated too. I mean, ancestry.com is to really get people to plug in and find out, get some samples of their DNA and those sorts of things.
Well, it serves two purposes. I think most people know that it's owned by Blackstone, and obviously they spend most of their money and research within bioweaponry. But the idea with Ancestry.com is twofold. One, it's to provide people with a false family tree, so they can see that they go back to a king or a queen somewhere, which everyone's obsessed with doing. It ticks a box. I've got my family tree. Most of it will be fictitious, but they've got their family tree. But they want to capture your DNA. That's what Blackstone are doing because they are heavily invested in bioweaponry. So by sending your DNA in, they can then work away at different methods of reducing certain bloodlines and certain people.
Which is why we've got the blood bank, and then that turned into organ donation and tissues donation and those sorts of things. It's all really harvesting and capturing information.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gosh, I'm looking for the silver lining here, Guy. No, it's, like it's real heavy information, isn't it? It's a heavy topic.
It is, and that's why it's important to research it and to read about the Last Great Reset, because forewarned is forearmed, and if you've got the information, you can see what's coming and you'll be prepared for it. And they're not expecting that. But as you know, that the system's starting to crack. It's not going to take much more for them to have civil war, in my opinion. But it does take for people to, stand up now, and instead of just talking about what they will do if things get bad, they actually now have to act upon it, I think. But we can see everything's cracking. We've got the fake war obviously going on in Iran at the moment, which is obviously pushing Agenda 2030. That's what it's really about. And we've just got to make some decisions. So, personally, I think now is the time for people to boycott companies that support the World Economic Forum. So, not using certain companies. And it might be a little bit inconvenient, but it's better to inconvenience yourself slightly than to allow them to continue. And I think that we've got to share this information as much as we can. So if you're going to boycott certain companies, stop watching the news, stop buying the newspapers, stop voting, stop engaging with the propaganda, and then tell other people why. And hopefully, in amongst them, you've got some people that are just waking up, and it might be the right time for them to hear what you've got to say. So we've just got to share this information. I think that and make some tough decisions. Eat properly is a good one. Stop buying processed junk from fast food restaurants and supermarkets. We've got to support independence. I won't buy anything from somebody that doesn't accept cash. I don't care what it is, and that might mean that you've got to go without your special favorite coffee. Well, that's a
Absolutely. I hear what
small
you're
price to
saying.
pay. It's a very small price to pay for your freedom.
Well, for me, it was minimizing my lifestyle, right? I started looking at how my grandparents lived and I started challenging myself, live simpler, live simpler, live simpler. Just keep it really close to home. And that was kind of the theme for me. Now, I mean, if they say there's going to be a shortage or there's going to be a shutdown or whatever, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I even kind of thought about the fasting that I do and things like that. I started looking at, like you were talking about, the food that we eat, right? But I started looking at how much that we eat. We eat way too much. We eat way too much food. And I started minimalizing that and then doing some fasting. And I thought, my gosh, if they want to try and tell us that there's no food or whatever, there's a lot of us that'll just go, that's okay. That's okay. We can get through all of these things if we just simplify our lives and be very careful about who we're engaging with and stick to the cash, like you're talking about as well. We'll make our way through.
Yeah, and I just think we've got to make some tough decisions. I mean, some of them aren't that tough.
Yes.
It's difficult to claim to be wide awake and then go and do your weekly shopping in a supermarket that sells processed food. So I think we've now got to put our money where our mouth is, support local independent businesses, and as you quite rightly said, you don't need to eat as much as we do. And there will be people out there that panic buy as soon as they tell you that the shelves will be empty. They'll rush out there, just like they did in the pandemic with toilet roll.
Yes.
That they'll rush out and overbuy, and then there won't be a problem. But they're just trying to scare people.
Well,
But it's all
I
cop,
think
Paul.
they're doing, I think they're doing a calculation as well, aren't they, Guy? Like, if you want to know who's how many compliant people you have, start, scaring them in some way and taking away, product or whatever, and see who complies, or tell them there's a virus and they have to wear masks and they have to have, some sort of medicine and see who complies. So I think that the people that are doing all this stuff, that are steering it all, we're just looking for, statistics and feedback as to how successful they're going to be at what they're trying to do.
Yeah, that's certainly a possibility. There's also the possibility that this was actually done by the good guys, that they wanted to see who they had that was awake and who wasn't, and that for the next civilization after this great reset, that
Wow,
only
that's a good
that
slant. That's a
they
good
can't,
slant.
not
Okay.
everyone can go, not that, because they're going to need, if it's going to be a higher vibration, a higher frequency, and we may see the return of certain beings that would throw a spanner in the works regarding our creation, then it's going to have to be people that are fully awake to be able to comprehend what's happening and to go with it. So there is that possibility. I don't know, I don't have the answer, but there is the possibility that this was a test to see who's awake and who isn't, but actually put in place by what we would refer to as the good guys.
I like that. I like that. Thank you very much for that little slant on it. Yeah. Okay. All right. So what next? What next? So Tesla and the Cabbage Patch Kids was about letting us know about all of this stuff we're just talking about now. Yeah.
It rewrites history. The
Okay.
book rewrites history, so it's and it shows why Tartaria had to be removed. So, the Napoleonic Wars up to the Second World War, why they were important for the parasites, because they had to remove people and populations and certain buildings and cities. So it explains why war takes place, and also shows you what the previous civilization lived like and looked like compared to what's happening now. So it takes you back right to the very beginning of our creation through the Tartarian period and then up to the current reset.
They really are parasites. There's, I mean, I to think that there's a race, a small race of people who could be so incredibly organized, so incredibly focused, and also have the resources that are needed to annihilate a race so advanced.
But their technology goes back to, to the Anunnaki. So they were more advanced then than we are today. So this is all Anunnaki technology.
So they had access to off-world stuff.
Well, we don't know where the stuff came from. We don't know where the Anunnaki came from, but they certainly weren't the same as us. They're different beings. We know that. We know they were far more advanced than we are.
They
But yes.
strategically planned to get to erase Tartaria, then reset, so clone and repopulate this planet. I mean, and everybody who's ever looked at all the orphan trains and all the empty buildings and all the, hospices and sanitariums or sanatoriums and all that sort of stuff, left lots and lots of question marks for me, and it surely has for a lot of others, going, what the hell was going on? What was all of that about? So that was the era of the reset, right? Repopulating everybody. And then they've created the history, the false history, and then they've created how they're going to educate us, how they're going to, look after our health and well-being, and how they're going to create society.
Yeah, absolutely.
All of it.
But obviously, a lot of the population was replaced with clones, the Cabbage Patch Babies. So they had blank sheets. They didn't need to rewrite anything for them. They had no reference point for what came before.
And that's what was really eerie for me when I went down this road, was seeing like these world fairs that they called them, these huge exhibitions, and there were, registered nurses there, and annexes that were full of incubators and babies and things like that. And I was like, what's going on?
Yeah, and they sold them. They were clones, but they were for sale. Yeah, and they happened everywhere. Every country in the world had world's fairs, and some had several, and they were just mass whitewashing and brainwashing. They put indigenous people on exhibition as primitive and savage, pushed technology that was badly cobbled together based on Tartarian antiquitech, and sold babies. Yeah, you could buy those babies from the incubator program, which was run by someone called Martin Cooney. So yeah, they were the clones that were on sale. A lot of the children that traveled on the orphan trains were clones as well.
And so, yeah, you use programming because that's when the programming started and the programming's never stopped. Yeah. And that's what I realized in my own journey. And I suppose everybody else has too. At some point, you wake up from programming. You've been programmed by, this world and our parents and the school and all that sort of stuff. And at some point, you go, no, enough, enough. There's something else going on here, right?
Absolutely.
That's, it's phenomenal to the degree of what's been done. It's a pill to swallow, isn't it, Guy?
Well, I swallowed it a very, very long time ago, but yeah, it's how it's always been. That there's always been this desire for these bloodline families to be in control. And as I said at the start, it goes back to Amun-Ra, Marduk, the son of Enki, who made us, who created us. But he was the most powerful god, if you like, or ruler, and he wanted his children to inherit the world, and that's why their descendants believe that they own everything, that they have a right to own everything. Obviously, they've got slightly different DNA and blood to us, so they see themselves as a superior race, because they're more Anunnaki, or some would say more reptilian, which is just, they're talking about the same thing, but they're more Anunnaki than we are. So they see things very differently. They're very cold-blooded. They have no empathy. They see us as a much lesser race, almost vermin. So they want control back, and they're doing everything they can to take it. And they have succeeded. But as I said, we got this pretend war going on in Iran, which is only Agenda 2030. And I think people are starting to wake up now and seeing that what's going on out there, it isn't real, and there is a different purpose behind it. And hiding the, well, diverting the attention of people from the Epstein files needed to happen quickly, so they pushed the Iran situation to take place a lot sooner than it was planned to. And I think this is where they're going to fall apart, because they're doing too much too soon, and it's overload for a lot of people. Even for the NPCs, it's just too much.
So things like it's making me think now of Project Bluebeam and how they've got technology where they can see into the future, and no matter how they tried to manipulate the timelines, it kept coming up with they're going to end. They are going to end. It's the end of them. And they've been trying to manipulate those timelines for a long, long time to create another agenda, which is probably what CERN and those sorts of facilities are all about. They're trying to manipulate reality.
Yeah, possibly. We don't know, but we do know that they are planning a fake invading alien invasion next year. But
That's what
we'll have to wait
Bluebeam's
and
all
see.
about. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
Being able to project things into your mind.
so we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But even the CIA are on board with it, and they're pushing out that they're expecting to see some kind of arrival. But it's predicted anyway, isn't it, that the Anunnaki are due to return. But we'll just have to see what happens. I think that if they do plan this fake alien invasion or arrival, then that's going to be the end of religion as we know it. I appreciate
Oh.
most people that are awake don't follow religion, but
Yeah.
there's still a huge number of people that do. So, you know, when aliens suddenly land, whether it's CGI or not, they're going to realize then that actually everything they've ever been taught is a lie. And that is when they're going to go running for help, and they'll go running to the people that orchestrated the whole thing.
Yes. I mean, I even have to question, that's part of the rabbit holes I've been down, is have all religions been created as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
They're all
the
part of the psyop. Yeah. And
yes,
look,
they are. Yes, they're not. Yeah, obviously not real.
if I had had this conversation 10 years ago with you, I would be sitting here with some of my brain cells melted and sort of, going like, what? Like doing a big download or a big dump sort of thing. So, I mean, I say that for people out there, if that's how it's hitting you at the moment, it's okay. It's okay. Just, let this information, process and absorb. But go on to your website, go on to your YouTube and start, doing a bit of, instead of getting onto Netflix and doing a big, hey, I'm going to download, some silly, crazy series for the weekend. Go download guy.
Well, I think that it's very easy to dismiss something. It's a lot easier to dismiss something than it is to accept it. And this is why I said earlier on that I don't no longer engage with people who can't wake up. It's very obvious when they comment on something. It's very obvious that that isn't the audience that we're trying to talk to. So I just don't engage, and I've just accepted the fact that, you know, more than not are going to jump on Netflix, go and vote, buy a newspaper, go to church on Sunday. They're still going to do that no matter what we say. But and that's the world we live in, isn't it? It's a lot easier to shut someone down or dismiss something than it is to consider it.
Yes.
But for the people that are awake, then, you know, between myself and all the other people out there that are sharing information, we're just adding little pieces to a jigsaw puzzle, and the more pieces they get, the more picture is complete. So I just see my job as being someone that can give you a few more pieces, and then you can go off if you're interested in a particular area. You can go off and continue to explore that further. So I'm just trying to give people everything I've got, and hope that it helps them on their way.
Yeah, you've done the research, you've done the investigation, you've lived and experienced all of it, which is what I love, right? I don't want people that are just telling me a theory they've got or an idea. It's what's, coming and evolving from your years of research and study, right?
Yeah, my books, Tesla and the Cabbage Patch Kids, more so, contains each reference, where I get the information from, the books, the maps, dates, names, places. It's all in there. So rather than just saying, I think this, I think that, I'm actually saying this was written in this particular year by Marco Polo. This is the book. This is what he said. This is where you can go to find out more about it. And so I'm giving people references so they can go off and do some more homework themselves, rather than just saying, I think this happened. I'm saying this happened, and this person wrote about it, followed by two further people, and here is a reference to it. Here's a map. Here's a segment from the chapter of that particular book, blah, blah, blah. So I'm actually giving people factual information rather than theory.
And there's the credibility, right? The credibility that comes with it. So then you said the latest book that you've, well, hang on, let's go back a step. Rise of the Clones.
That was the second book.
Okay, so that came after Tesla. Yep. All right, and we've already touched a lot about the clones and things. So the conspiracy theories. That's your latest book.
Yeah, that came out in December. And that they're just different rabbit holes that I've explored over the years. So there's 87 of them. And did you say you'd read that one, or you've got that one? Which one is it
No,
you've
I
read?
haven't. I haven't yet. I found out about you through a contact that I've got in South Africa, and
Right.
I've only looked at your website so far, and I listened to a couple of your YouTubes as well. So yes, my apologies if you
Right,
find
sorry.
anything
Yeah, I
there.
thought when when we started talking, you maybe had read conspiracy theories.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's just a compilation, really. It's an A to Z. The reason it's called Agatha the Zombies is because each conspiracy theory is in alphabetical order. So it
Right.
starts off with A and then finishes the last chapter on Z. So yeah, 87 different rabbit holes. So whether or not you're interested in 9/11, COVID, Operation Paperclip, Atlantis, whatever it is, there'll be something there for you to enjoy. And each chapter is quite small, so you could read it in a lunch break or, on a commute if if you travel by bus or train or whatever, on a commute to work even. So that it's designed to be just snippets, enough to be able to read in one go rather than having to earmark halfway through a chapter and continue it another day. So yeah, every conspiracy theory that I've researched is in there.
Love it. It's an easy read, right? It's just an easy read. That's good. That's good. So even the word conspiracy theory, like when I first started, I'm talking like 15 years ago, you really were, they didn't even think, I don't think they were calling you tinfoil hats back then, but as soon as you said anything that was out of the standard narrative for people, it made everyone uncomfortable. It just made everyone uncomfortable. And I think it was the CIA, wasn't it, that coined the phrase conspiracy? No?
No, a lot of people believe that it was around before then. They basically ramped it up a bit.
Right.
So no, it was around before then, but they jumped on it and kind of, I suppose, took ownership of it. But it's the correct term. I like it, and I am a conspiracy theorist because I research acts of conspiracy against mankind. So I do exactly what that label suggests. And the
Yes.
tinfoil hat wearer, I like that one too, because if we were all wearing true tinfoil hats, we wouldn't have half the problem we do with EMF.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. We'd be walking around as our own Faraday cages.
Yeah, exactly. And I know somebody sleeps in one. So, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear. And now, conspiracy theories is actually becoming an okay terminology, isn't it?
Yeah, but again, it's more for the because we've got more people that are awake now, or more people that were awake and are now connecting with other people and have realized there are places out there that you can actually communicate with each other freely without being ridiculed. But it's still going to be something that to most of the NPCs is just the object of ridicule, really.
Yeah.
But again, as I say, I do not even engage with these people. Not because I've got a problem with them, and we're all made differently and we all have our own beliefs, but I won't spend time engaging with someone who I can immediately see can't be woken up, because there are people out there, as I said earlier, that are awake or have just woken up, and I think that they need our time and effort, not somebody who just wants to argue about something that they'll never understand.
I agree with you totally there. I agree with you totally. Will we ever get to see this technology that was all taken away and hidden from us, do you think?
Yeah, take a trip to Astana in Kazakhstan. I wrote about that in my first book. Since they've got free energy there, people until 2012, people weren't even paying for energy. So Kazakhstan, Astana in particular, that is a revival really of Tartaria and Atlantis. So yeah, people check that out. See if they can find a documentary online, or if you're lucky enough, go and take a trip. And you'll see something that resembles what Atlantis and Tartaria once looked like. So yes, it's coming back. And obviously in Australia, you've got that huge rainbow festival where they use a massive Tesla tower to run all the power for the entire event. And they've been doing that for years now. So there
Right.
are people out there using this tech.
Yep.
Australia is perhaps the biggest example of that. But yeah,
Yeah.
if you want to see a Tartarian city, check out Astana.
Astana.
In Kazakhstan, yeah, and I shared as much information as I had at the time, in Tesla and the Cabbage Patch Kids on that particular
Fabulous.
place, yeah.
Well, I think that's a beautiful place to leave this off because we've run out of time. We're at the hour now. I want to thank you so much. Like this, Oh my gosh, intense and heavy to now I'm feeling light and enlightened, I suppose, is the best way to say it. I think it's a lovely way to finish it off that the technology is here and that we have got access to it, and we need to start really behaving. How would you put it in a nutshell?
No one is coming to save us. We need to save ourselves.
That's
And if
it.
you want to make a difference, it starts with you. Don't go waiting for someone to come along and make this better. You can make a difference today. You can make different choices and stop watching the news, stop sharing their propaganda, and think about what you're eating and where you're buying it from, and think about who you're handing your hard-earned cash over to. Everyone can make a difference right now, but it requires you actually wanting to enough to, maybe drive 5 minutes further or walk somewhere else to get your coffee. It does require a bit of effort.
Fantastic. Couldn't have thought of a better way to say it. Thank you so much, Guy. Thank you for your time. And I will put your YouTube and your website in the show notes for everybody to access as well.
That's fantastic. And if anyone's got any questions, then they can always fire them through the website. There is a question section on there that they can contact. And of course, anyone who's read my books, they can always email me. The address is in the back of all of my books if they want to email.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Guy. This has
You're
been
welcome.
enlightening and enriching. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on, Helen.
Okay, see you.